Welcome to a 10-minute game misconduct. I am CT here with Dory. I forgot who I was for a second.
I know. I was like,
I'm a little hungover from two nights of hockey. Like, you can hear my voice too. Like, can you hear that? That's from me yelling at the television the last two nights.
Yeah.
It's wrecking my voice. I would love to get Wes McCauley. We need to try to find a call from Wes McCauley where he's like, 10-minute game misconduct. Because he's like the best like ref caller in the NHL. Like, they always put up clips of him calling like penalties, and he's like so intense.
There was a lot of them yesterday.
Well, yes. And we're gonna talk about that. So game three, Lightning versus Boston. In the bubble, series was tied 1-1, and the Bolts came out, and, well, hello there, power play. Nice to see you finally, and glad to see it finally arrived at the bubble.
Oh, my God. I mean, one of the things that we kept repeatedly saying is they're doing okay on the kill. Mm-hmm. Can't really complain.
Right.
But it's the power play that needs to get going, and
special
then they decided,
teams.
You know what? We got to get this going.
Well, getting that going and just putting pucks towards the net. Like, just shoot towards the net. You never know what will happen. So, yeah, mm-hmm. Power play finally kicking in. They were like 3-for-4 or something like
that. They were 3-for-6.
3-for-6. That's right. They got a bunch more at the end of the game. That was at the end of the second period. I saw that number.
Yeah,
so it helped that Boston was taking some dumb penalties. Boston.
Especially what? I was going to say, especially towards the end, there was a lot of nonsense going on.
Well, that's just
frustration.
Just frustration on their part. So the final was 7-1, and I think the final of the Colorado-Dallas game was like 6-4. Like, it was, and even the Philly-New York Islander game was crazy. It was only a 3-4 game, but there were a lot of goals scored yesterday. And you and I were texting back and forth that Boston looked tired. And I especially thought they looked tired at the end of the second period. It was the second of a back-to-back. So, you know, you can kind of understand that. And yesterday we talked about, were they going to put Halak in or put the kid that had never played a game in the NHL? Even their coach had never seen him play before. And they went with Halak. We went with Vasi, which is, it's not the norm for a back-to-back to see the same goaltender. But, you know, with the exiting of Tuukka Rask, these are the two guys that Boston has left. And they were talking about how if the Boston coach put in, I don't even remember his name. I forget it off the top of my head. I remembered it last night. But if they had put up the backup goaltender in, they were gonna defend in front of him. Mm-hmm. And so I think I'm getting a little ahead of ourselves, but they weren't really defending in front of him. And you were like, why would they put this kid in after getting 4 or 5 goals, letting those 4 or 5 goals in by Halak? And I was just like, to shake something up and to hope that, you know, Boston would wake up and defend in front of him.
Yep. Nope. His name's Dan Vladar.
Vladar. That's it. Yeah, Daniel Vladar.
The whole thing was checking out, you know, about starting the goalies back-to-back was, you know, looking at it, I believe Halak, said his name right finally,
yep,
hadn't played a back-to-back since 2014.
Oh, wow.
And he's 35 years old. He's 10 years older than Vasi.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lightning have been, you know, he faced a solid number of shots in two games.
Yeah.
So I was like, well, what do you do here? I mean, do you put him in and see what happens, which is what they did. And
a
lot happened. So then they took him out and mm-hmm. put in the guy who has never been in an NHL game. And that didn't really work either. But on the flip side to that, we also talked, well, you know, you're going to put Vasi in, or, you know, we assumed they would. The Lightning did something that I'm not sure how many people, you know, kind of caught up, because it was just so much offense going on.
Mm-hmm.
The Lightning defense, man, really protected Vasi yesterday. He didn't face them, and they didn't let him face that many shots. They outblocked the Bruins. I mean, they were making sure whatever we have to do to make sure our goaltender isn't overwhelmed is what the Lightning defense did. Mm-hmm. I thought it was I think defensively the Lightning have played well all season long, mm-hmm. especially in the playoffs. Very, I had my, concerns, not concerns, but, my little, Sergachev things earlier on, because he was doing a couple of things that were a little goofy.
Wonky.
Yeah. A little wonky. He really tightened it up.
He had obviously a great game last night.
Yeah, fantastic goal. Game last night, with the goal. Defensively, they really did their jobs. But like you said, Boston looked tired, and then it got to a point in the game where they just looked defeated. Mm-hmm. They just looked like, I don't know. Especially I thought in the third period. The Lightning obviously played back, and mm-hmm. they played, just to defend a six goal, because at that point what they scored 4 minutes into the third or something like that.
Yeah,
something like that. So it was pretty much like, three quarters of the third period, they kind of played back a little bit. Mm-hmm. But the one thing I liked is on one of the many power plays that happened in the third period, I was like, what are the Lightning going to do? And they played. And I wasn't sure if we were going to see them take their foot off a little bit.
Yeah. And you and I were texting back and forth, and you're like, oh, I feel so bad for this kid. And I mean, I think everybody did. I mean, when Alex Killorn, when Alex Killorn scored that first goal on him, I think it was the first one, you could tell that he was like, I don't need to be celebrating too much right now. Like, that's class. Full on mm-hmm. class right there. And Yanni Gord also didn't, celebrate too much with them either until they got to the bench. And then, mm-hmm. of course they did their ritual, but good on them. Very classy. They didn't really celebrate any goals after, that kid Daniel was in net. But you were like, I feel bad for him, kind of thing. And I was like, but you keep trying to score. It's a playoff game. Like, you never know. And I think there was a huge comeback, like Dallas tried to come back last night mm-hmm. in the game versus Colorado. Mm-hmm. So you can't let your foot off the gas. If anything, maybe rest some of your top line guys and get some of your other line guys a chance to play, kind of thing. But you don't let your foot off the gas. You still continue to play your game. You still continue to be competitive. Maybe you just don't celebrate too much.
But we've seen the Lightning have a lead and kind of pull back a bit.
Right. And I
wonder if they're going to do it now but they didn't. Of course they did it slightly, but they didn't stop the intensity. I just mean, they weren't as aggressive, because at that point now you're just running up the score just because you can.
Right.
And it got to a point in the second period where like they were scoring at will.
I know.
Wild.
In between the second and third period, they interviewed Alex Killorn on the broadcast, and he's like, we obviously don't need any more goals. That worried me a little bit. I'm like, no, you don't need any more goals to win right now, as the score is right now. But don't stop playing defensively.
Right.
So it made me happy. They might not have been as aggressive on the offensive zone in the puck as they normally would have been. That's okay. Just don't think you can just lay back and be sloppy and like just.
Right. And they didn't. And that was the thing, like third period. I mean, there's still takeaways and
they still look like they had their legs under them. So mm-hmm. that was okay. It's going to do one or two things. And I feel like I'm like Captain Obvious here. It's going to do one of two things with Boston. It's going to be, they're going to come out swinging the next game. Cause I was really expecting them to be like, if they can't beat them, let's just beat them. But I think they were mm-hmm. so tired. They just didn't have the energy to just start to beat up on us. And, so that was
until later.
But even then it wasn't like Boston would normally come try to intimidate somebody. Like it still wasn't that same kind of intensity. So in game, 4 that's coming up on Friday night?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's going to be on USA Network. So just, yeah. Just.
How is that? I want to know how that works. I have NHL TV. Nobody cares about this, but I just want to like. So I pay for NHL TV for the app so I can watch games.
Uh-huh.
then I have, you know, NBC Sportsnet app to watch the other. No, well, how, I don't
well,
know
USA is an NBC network.
Yeah, I wonder if it's going to be on their sports on their app.
It probably will be, but yeah.
Just complaining if anybody else is out there and doesn't have cable and like does me and has like millions of streaming services. And
yeah,
I'm just like, I don't know how I'm going to watch this, but I'll figure it out. I got Dave and Phil.
There you go.
I got Dave. I always got Dave and Phil. So
yeah. So it's going to be on NBC, USA Network on Friday night. I think 7:30. I can't ever remember. Just
these game times are just,
I know, it's just crazy. But, so they're either going to come out swinging really hard and try to like really take control of the game early, or they're just going to be so defeated that they just start to lay down. I don't think they're going to lay down. But
No. I don't think you can ever count Boston out ever. No,
I don't think so.
But I will say that Bergeron,
kitty.
Can you hear the cat
screaming?
Bergeron wasn't a factor at all for the most part. I mean, he had a couple of penalty, like 4 penalty minutes.
Yeah.
I'm just laughing because it's Patrice Bergeron. He's not really, I don't think past Pastrnak had a wowie type game.
Right.
You know, Marchand is a pain in the butt. He's just, he irritates me. Can you hear the cat screaming?
Yeah, the cat's like, Marchand irritates me as well.
Yeah, really, Tipton does not.
The rat.
Not like the Bruins.
What do they call him, the rat? So the obviously rat. A cat wouldn't really be into him.
No. but, you know, he didn't have, I mean, he had the power play goal. But he wasn't, I was thinking, and this is, you know, the Richie, the Kasha, I was like, let's see how they looked a little sluggish a little bit. Krejci kind of had a little jump in him a bit. And then you just kind of saw it drain.
Fizzle, yeah.
And I think 2 goals in 15 seconds is probably a killer.
Yeah.
Because it's right when the game started. I mean, it was minutes within the game starting.
Yeah.
So now you're playing. Now you have to kind of keep going and push ahead. Mm-hmm. And that's hard when you're tired.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know the actual ages of everybody on the Boston Bruins, but they've been around. They're an older team.
Yeah.
And I just, you know, Coyle has been a lightning killer the first 2 games.
Yeah.
Played really well. Nothing.
Yeah.
It was just all of them collectively.
Well, the coach, they were talking about how the coach kind of said, you know, we're seeing the effort from our veterans. We need some of those young legs to really start, you know, showing up a little more. And I'm paraphrasing what, you know, the commentators on NBCSN were saying, but, you know, we kind of saw that last night. The veterans are going to be a little more tired in this point in their career on a back-to-back in a playoff game.
Yeah.
Chara. Yeah. So those young kids need to step up a little bit more and take control of the game. And it just wasn't there. They just looked exhausted. But yeah, it's definitely going to set up for an interesting game 4. Like you said, we can never count Boston out. But it was so funny. I was texting with you in the third period. I was like, well, you know, Doc Emmerich isn't expecting much out of the game when he starts pontificating on the heights of goaltenders. I mean, really, in the third period, they were really not calling the action
They didn't have it really. There was like even moments of like
low.
Where it was like, did my sound cut out?
Right.
And it's just, what do you, and even I'll tell you, if you listen to Dave Mishkin's call on Cooch's goal, even he's like, go, Cooch.
Another one.
And it was just like, you know, you don't get that, you know, from Mishkin. But I'll be honest, it was not I don't think it was an entertaining game. I was
well, the first two periods were entertaining.
The third period.
Yeah.
Yes and no. It was so lopsided that it felt like they were doing target practice.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I mean, it's exciting when, you know, the team you want to win is scoring and scoring and scoring and scoring, of course. But then it got to the third period and it was like, Yeah. This is just lost. Anything? Can we do anything? Oh, we're going to have some fights? Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, Marshan Marchand's being Marshan Marchand. Okay. Well, that's entertaining, I guess, to a degree. It was just, I felt bad for the goalie.
Yeah.
Which I don't usually feel bad for other teams' goalies.
No.
But I was just like, what is going through that kid's mind right now? And he's like 23 years old, right? Mm-hmm. What is going through his mind right now? Like,
And I think they said he was one of the best goaltenders in the American League.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then to come out in your first game. And I mean, that's a large task to ask of any goaltender for his first game. But when you're the third line, technically black ace goaltender kind of thing, mm-hmm. that's your role. And you go in there and you try. Yeah, he had a couple great saves. The guys in front of them just weren't helping him out. And, you know, if I'm one of those guys who was playing in front of him, I would be apologizing profusely. I'd be like, sorry, man, I'm not a player. I've never played, but I felt bad for the guy. And
yeah, I did too.
He went in and he did what he could.
No, he did it. He did what he was asked to do.
Yep.
Never playing in an NHL game before. And he went out. I thought he looked poised.
Yeah, no, he didn't look like nervous or anything. He went out and I was curious if they were going to have Halak go back in for the third period and be like, you know, you laid that guy out to dry. We're going to put this guy back in and you better step it up. But they stayed with Daniel. Mm-hmm. Oh, I can't remember his last name. So it's going to be an interesting game for, like you said, we can't count Boston out yet. Mm-mm. They are.
I expect them, because it's a couple days rest now.
Mm-hmm.
I expect them to come out and, you know, and listen, here's the interesting thing. There were 90 hits in that game last night. 90.
That's
50 of them were from Boston. They weren't that tired.
That's true. That's true.
They just, yeah.
Yeah.
But hey, while I'm on the statsy thing that I love to do, I'm really excited about this one. Lightning won the playoff, the face-off percentage game.
Special teams.
Finally, barely.
Hey.
They won 55% of them, but I'll take it.
A win's a win. Those special teams are going to be the difference makers in these kinds of games. And they kept, because I'm not one of those people who like, this guy was on the right wing, this guy was on the left wing, and this guy's the center. Like, I'm just like, oh, who's on that on the ice right now? You know, I'm just one of those. But they kept mentioning how they switched Kucherov to a strong side and moved Palat to the other side. I don't know if that was just for power play or for, but whatever they did.
Only skating with 11 forwards, so it
That's
becomes
true,
a numbers
yeah.
game, and you gotta, you know, shake things up a bit.
But whatever they did was working.
Yeah, Palat's had a couple really good games. And see, that's the interesting thing. So I believe it's Palat that's the kind of the rotator guy.
Okay.
Which is why you see him, you know, out there with Gord, and you know what I mean? Like you see him out there with the top line, you see him. I think it's Palat. I would, again, I'm not detailing the, you know.
Yeah, the lineups.
Yeah. The carousel of them and all that stuff. But we have seen him out there on the top line. We've seen him out there, I think, playing with Gord.
Mm-hmm.
And he's had a really solid two games, kind of being that versatility, which he is. He's such a versatile player.
Yeah. He's usually, like the Swiss Army knife.
Yeah, and he's not a scorer, and he's gotten a huge one in game two, and then open it up in game three.
Yeah,
love it. Gord really, really happy. Mm-hmm. Really great game for him. Finally got one.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't think finally. It just got to the point where I was like, is everybody going to score? Everybody's going to score.
Well, I'm still waiting
Kalorn,
on one.
You messed it up. You had two. Somebody else could have gotten that one.
I know. The next one that's going to score?
Pat Maroon.
Yep. He's had a couple really good chances. I think he's the next guy. He's the next one who's going to have a big goal.
That dude plays with so much heart and so much intensity. And he is a worker. And I want him to have a really big game. Not like my favorite player or anything. I like him. I find him very
entertaining.
Entertaining.
Yes.
But I just, man, I love it when guys go out there
and lay it all on the ice.
Lay it all out there. He's a seasoned veteran, and he's literally like every night. And he's so excited when his line mates score.
Yeah, he's a good team guy.
Such a good teammate. Really hope he gets one.
I've heard his chirps from the bench are epic, and I would love, like, I know probably some of them are not airworthy.
Yeah, it's probably why they don't mic them up.
But, oh man, I would just love, like, some of Pat Maroon's best chirps to just come out, because he's a funny guy, and he's just a good team guy. So it's nice to see that they're really gelling and they're clicking on all cylinders, while other teams look like they're very kind of just disjointed. You know, as the time in the bubble has moved on, they just look like they are more of a cohesive group than they were even when before the stoppage started.
I was going to say that.
Yeah.
Look at just this series, game one, game two. Wow. Y'all going to give 55 minutes effort. This is what you're going to get, you know.
Well,
then last night was like, I mean, some of those passes, these things textbook. Like have magnets to them. I don't know how they're.
Yeah, because being with a team for that long could do two things. You either become that much closer and tighter, or you start fighting like family, you know, during the holidays, if you're in the house with like 20 people at the same time for Thanksgiving and there are only 10 bedrooms, you know, kind of thing. But they just look like they have really gelled. And it was funny, we were texting, you and I were texting the other day about some of the developments within the bubbles of, you know, maybe some players looking like they're starting to crack. Jonathan Marchessault. Google it. What was that?
I said, look at you, Marchessault.
Google that. And I think it was last episode I even said, like, it's starting to look like an episode of Saved by the Bell with all the drama. it's some teams, I think, and players are starting to crack from, you know, from our interview with Mike Poirier, it doesn't sound like the bubbles are like horrible to live in. It's just being away from your normal routine and all of that, that looks like it might be taking a toll on some guys, but
yeah, listen,
it's just from the outside looking in.
Marchessault just doesn't want you wasting his time.
Clearly. just Google it.
It's just too much.
I'd be interested to see if they start taking away social media in the bubble. Like when they get down to one bubble, social media account. I don't think they can, but.
I don't think they can.
It'll be interesting because that seems to be the part of the issue.
They
got a lot of time on their hands, apparently.
Yeah, the times they're not spent, you know, watching, you know, Disney Junior with their, you know, kids, toddlers. Yeah. They're now like,
I
don't know.
A couple things before we go that I saw on NHL's Instagram account and the Lightning's Instagram account. Blake Coleman, he has a new baby daughter, Charlie, who is a beautiful little girl. And there's a video of a FaceTime on his phone, on the phone. And I guess mom put it in the crib, and he Charlie goes, like, crawls over to it, you know, and tries to basically eat the phone. Cause she's like trying to, it looks like she's trying to find her, like she can see her dad and hear her dad, but she can't, like, it'll melt any cold Irish woman's heart if it did mine. So really kind of cute and kind of a way to see how people are interacting with their family in and out of the bubble. The other thing was NHL. Louis Domingue, who's still in the bubble, apparently is baking for everybody. Pies and cookies. And who knew? Who knew he was the Martha Stewart of the bubble?
I mean, he's really creative. We saw him from his little outfits he used to wear and all this stuff.
Yeah.
When he was here.
So he's apparently baking for his team while they're in the bubble. So, okay. And the NHL has released like their first episode of, like, you know how they would do the Stanley Cup series where they would follow, or not Stanley Cup. They would do it. They did a Stanley Cup series, but they would do one for the Winter Classic as well. They're doing one. And I just saw it was released, I think maybe yesterday, on the NHL Instagram account. So I'm going to watch that today, but it's like 44 minutes. Definitely a lot of content coming out of the bubbles. It's so new for everybody. But it seems to be working. So
at least for the Lightning.
so far, knock on wood, but things, we know how quickly things can change.
They really can. And that's the thing that everybody needs to keep in mind.
Right. And even in the post-game press conference with the players and the coach, you could tell they were like, we're not celebrating yet. We haven't. And like when they won the series against Columbus, I was like, everybody felt like we had won the cup already, you know, kind of thing, because it was just like, you slayed the dragon, the team that knocked you out in four games last year. And so I was a little worried how they were going to come out in this series versus Boston. It was a little shaky game one, but they figured it out. And it, like I think I said on the last podcast, it just shows a level of maturity, and I can't wait to see what happens next. So
yeah,
game's coming up Friday on USA Network. Check your local listings for time, because they're changing all the time. Anything you want to say before we go, Dory? Because obviously it's more than 10 minutes.
No, we have a couple days to see what happens with McDonough.
Yeah.
And I would, at this point, I would expect Vasi to be, I don't think they're going to rest him yet, because he's going to have he's going to have today off.
Yep.
You know, and most of tomorrow. So I think maybe what game would that be? Five?
I don't know.
Maybe.
I don't know. He didn't really
maybe
have to
we
stop.
See McElhaney.
He didn't really have to stop a lot of pucks last night. So
no, he really didn't. Mm-mm, they only had 24 shots.
I don't really know.
The Lightning had 15 blocks.
Yeah. So we'll see.
Good effort.
We'll see what happens. If you enjoy our podcast, make sure you subscribe so you never miss an episode. And also, leave us a review. We'd love to hear what you think. All right, Dory, get some rest. And I'm going to rest my voice so that I have it for the game on Friday. And we'll catch you next time on Game Misconduct.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.